4. Christ sends the means and reveals the way of life to all them for whom he died. 5. Christ, in his death, did not ratify nor confirm a covenant of grace with any federates, but only procured by his death that God might, if he would, enter into a new covenant with whom he would, and upon what condition he pleased. 5. The new covenant of grace was confirmed to all the elect in the blood of Jesus. 4156. Christ might have died, and yet no one be saved. 6. Christ, by his death, purchased upon covenant and compact and assured peculiar people the pleasure of the Lord prospering to the end in his hand. 7. Christ had no intention to redeem his church any more than the wicked seed of the serpent. 7. Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. 8. Christ died not for the infidelity of any. 8. Christ died for the infidelity of the elect. Divers other instances of the like nature might be easily collected, upon the first view, whereof the present difference in hand would quickly be determined. These few, I doubt not, are sufficient, in the eyes of all experienced Christians, to evince how little the general ransom conduceth to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, or to the setting forth of the worth and dignity of his death and passion. Object 5. The next and last thing which comes under debate in this contest is gospel consolation, which God in Christ is abundantly willing we should receive. A short disquisition, whether of the two opinions treated on doth give the firmest basis and soundest foundation hereunto, will, by the Lord's assistance, lead us to an end of this long debate. The God of truth and comfort grant that all our undertakings, or rather his workings in us for truth, may end in peace and consolation. To clear this, some things are to be premised as ... 1. All true evangelical consolation belongeth only to believers, Hebrews 6:17, 18, God's people, Isaiah 41:2, upon unbelievers the wrath of God abideth, John 3:36, 2. To make out consolation unto them to whom it is not due is no less a crime than to hide it from them to whom it doth belong. Isaiah 5, verse 20, Jeremiah 23, verse 14, Ezekiel 13, verse 10. 3. T. M. Orr's attempt to set forth the death of Christ so that all might be comforted, meaning all and every one in the world, as appeareth, is a proud attempt to make that straight which God hath made crooked and most opposite to the gospel. 4. That doctrine which holds out consolation from the death of Christ to unbelievers cries, "Peace, peace," when God says, "There is no peace." These things being premised, I shall briefly demonstrate these four following positions. 1. That the extending of the death of Christ into a universality, in respect of the object, cannot give the least ground of consolation to them whom God would have to be comforted by the gospel. 2. That the denying of the efficacy of the 416 death of Christ towards them for whom he died cuts the nerves and sinews of all strong consolation, even such as is proper to believers to receive and peculiar to the gospel to give. 3. That there is nothing in the doctrine of redemption of the elect only that is yet in the least measure to debar them from consolation to whom comfort is due. 4. That the doctrine of the effectual redemption of the sheep of Christ by the blood of the covenant is the true solid foundation of all durable consolation. 1. Begin we with the first, that the extending of the death of Christ unto a universality, in respect of the object, hath nothing in it, as peculiar unto it, that can give the least ground of consolation unto them whom God would have to be comforted. That gospel consolation, properly so called, being a fruit of actual reconciliation with God, is proper and peculiar only to believers, I laid down before, and suppose it to be a truth out of all question and debate. Now, that no consolation can be made out to them as such, from anything which is peculiar to the persuasion of a general ransom, is easily proved by these following reasons. 1. No consolation can arise unto believers from that which is nowhere in the Scripture proposed as a ground, cause, or matter of consolation, as the general ransom is not. 4. First, that which hath no being can have no affection nor operation. Secondly, all the foundations and materials of consolation are things particular and peculiar only to some, as shall be declared. 2. No consolation can accrue unto believers from that which is common unto them with those whom, first, God would not have comforted, secondly, that shall assuredly perish to eternity, thirdly, that stand in open rebellion against Christ, fourthly, that never hear one word of gospel or consolation. Now, to all these, and such as these, doth the foundation of consolation, as proposed with and arising from the general ransom, equally appertain with the choicest of believers. 3. Let a man try in the time, not of disputation, but of desertion and temptation, what consolation or peace to his soul he can obtain from such a collection as this: Christ died for all men. I am a man. Therefore, Christ died for me. Will not his own heart tell him that, notwithstanding all that he is assured of in that conclusion, the wrath of God may abide on him for evermore? Doth he not see that, notwithstanding this, the Lord showeth so little love unto millions of the sons of men, of whom the former collection, according to the present opinion, is true as well as of himself, as that he doth not once reveal himself or his Son unto them? What good will it do me to know that Christ died for me, if notwithstanding that I may perish for ever? If you intend me any consolation from that which is common unto all, you must tell me what it 417 is which all enjoy, which will satisfy my desires, which are carried out after assurance of the love of God in Christ. If you give me no more to comfort me than what you give, or might have given, to Judas, can you expect I should receive settlement and consolation? Truly, miserable comforters are ye all, physicians of no value, Job's visitors, skillful only to add affliction unto the afflicted. But be of good comfort, will Arminians say. Christ is a propitiation for all sinners, and now thou knowest thyself so to be. Unos true, but is Christ a propitiation for all the sins of those sinners? If so, how can any of them perish? If not, what good will this do me, whose sins perhaps, as unbelief, are such as for which Christ was not a propitiation? But exclude not thyself. God excludeth none. The love which caused him to send his Son was general towards all. Tell not me of God's excluding. I have sufficiently excluded myself. Will he powerfully take me in? Hath Christ not only purchased that I shall be admitted, but procured me ability to enter into his Father's arms? Why, he hath opened a door of salvation to all. Alas, is it not a vain endeavor to open a grave for a dead man to come out? Who lights a candle for a blind man to see by? To open a door for him to come out of prison who is blind and lame and bound, yea, dead, is rather to deride his misery than to procure him liberty. Never tell me that will yield me strong consolation, under the enjoyment whereof the greatest portion of men perish everlastingly. 2. The opinion concerning a general ransom is so far from yielding firm consolation unto believers from the death of Christ, that it quite overthrows all the choice ingredients of strong consolation which flow there hence. And that, first, by strange divisions and divulsions of one thing from another, which ought to be conjoined to make up one certain foundation of confidence. Secondly, by denying the efficacy of his death towards them for whom he died, both which are necessary attendants of that persuasion. First, they so divide the impetration of redemption and the application thereof, the first being, in their judgments, the only proper immediate fruit and effect of the death of Christ, that the one may belong to millions who have no share in the other. Yea, that redemption may be obtained for all, and yet no one have it so applied unto them as to be saved thereby. Now, the first of these, such as it is an ineffectual possible redemption, notwithstanding which all the sons of men might perish everlastingly, being the whole object of the death of Christ, as is asserted, separated and divided from all such application of redemption, unto any, as might make it profitable and useful in the least measure, for they deny this application to be a fruit of the death of Christ. If it were, why is it not common to all for whom he died? What comfort this can in the least degree afford 418 to any poor soul will not dive into my apprehension. What shall I do, saith the sinner? The iniquity of my heels compasseth me about. I have no rest in my bones by reason of my sin. And now, whither shall I cause my sorrow to go? Be of good cheer. Christ died for sinners. Yea, but shall the fruits of his death be certainly applied unto all them for whom he died? If not, I may perish forever. Here let them that can answer him, according to the principles of universalists, without sending him to his own strength in believing, or that which, in the close, will be resolved into it, et erit mihi magnus Apollo. And if they send him thither, they acknowledge the consolation concerning which they boast properly to proceed from ourselves, and not from the death of Christ. Secondly, their separating between the oblation and intercession of Jesus Christ makes little for the consolation of believers, yea, indeed, quite everts it. There are, amongst others, two eminent places of Scripture wherein the Holy Ghost holdeth forth consolation to believers against these two general causes of all their troubles and sorrows, namely, their afflictions and their sins. The first is Romans 8, verse 32 to 34, the other first, John 2, verses 1 and 2. In both which places the apostles make the bottom of the consolation which they hold out to believers in their afflictions and failings to be that straight bond and inseparable connection that is between these two, with the identity of their objects, namely, the oblation and intercession of Jesus Christ. Let the reader consult both the texts, and he shall find that on this lies the stress, and herein consists the strength, of the several proposals for the consolation of believers, which, in both places, is principally intended. A more direct undertaking for this end and purpose cannot be produced. Now, the authors of universal redemption do all of them divide and separate these two. They allow of no connection between them, nor dependence of one upon another, farther than is effected by the will of man. His oblation they stretch to all, his intercession to a few only. Now, the death of Christ, separated from his resurrection and intercession, being nowhere proposed as a ground of consolation, yea, positively declared to be unsuitable to any such purpose. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. Certainly they who hold it out as so done are no friends to Christian consolation. Thirdly, their denial of the procurement of faith, grace, holiness, the whole intendment of the new covenant, and perseverance therein, by the death and bloodshedding of Jesus Christ, unto all them, or any of them, for whom he died, doth not appear to be so suitable an assertion for to raise consolation from his cross as is vainly pretended. I pray, what solid consolation can be drawn from such dry breasts as from whence none of these things do flow? That they have not immediate dependence on the death of Christ, according to 419, the persuasion of the asserters of universal grace hath been before declared, and is by themselves not only confessed, but undertaken to be proved. Now, where should a soul look for these things but in the purchase of Christ? Whence should they flow but from his side? Or is there any consolation to be had without them? Is not the strongest plea for these things at the throne of grace the procurement of the Lord Jesus? What promise is there of anything without him? Are not all the promises of God yea and amen in him? Is there any attainment of these things in our own strength? Is this the consolation you afford us to send us from free grace to free will? Whither, I pray, according to this persuasion, should a poor soul go that finds himself in want of these things? To God who gives all freely. But doth God bless us with any spiritual blessings but only in Jesus Christ? Doth he bless us with anything in him but what he hath procured for us? Is not all grace as well procured by as dispensed in a mediator? Is this a way to comfort a soul, and that from the death of Christ, to let him know that Christ did not procure those things for him without which he cannot be comforted? Credit Apella. It is then most apparent that the general ransom, which is pretended, is so far from being the bottom of any solid consolation unto them whose due it is, that it is directly destructive of, and diametrically opposed unto, all those ways whereby the Lord hath declared himself willing that we should receive comfort from the death of his Son, drying up the breast from whence, and poisoning the streams whereby it should be conveyed unto our souls. 3. The next thing we have to do is to manifest that the doctrine of the effectual redemption of the elect only by the blood of Jesus is not liable to any just exception as to this particular, nor doth any way abridge believers of any part or portion of that consolation which God is willing they should receive. That alone which, by the opposers of it, with any color of reason, is objected, for as for the exclamation of shutting out innumerable souls from any share in the blood of Christ, seeing confessedly they are reprobate unbelievers and persons finally impenitent, we are not at all moved at it, comes to this head, that there is nothing in the Scripture whereby any man can assure himself that Christ died for him in particular, unless we grant that he died for all. First, that this is notoriously false, the experience of all believers who, by the grace of God, have assured their hearts of their share and interest in Christ, as held out unto them in the promise, without the least thought of universal redemption, is a sufficient testimony. Secondly, that the assurance arising from a practical syllogism, whereof one proposition is true in the word, and the second by the witness of the Spirit in the heart, is infallible, hath hitherto been acknowledged 420 by all. Now, such assurance may all believers have that Christ died for them, with an intention and purpose to save their souls. For instance, all believers may draw out the truth of the word, and the faith created in their hearts, into this conclusion. First, Christ died for all believers, that is, all who choose him and rest upon him as an all-sufficient Savior, not that he died for them as such, but that all such are of those for whom he died. He died not for believers as believers, though he died for all believers, but for all the elect as elect, who, by the benefit of his death, do become believers, and so obtain assurance that he died for them. As for such of those that are elected who are not yet believers, though Christ died for them, yet we deny that they can have any assurance of it whilst they continue such. You suppose it a foul contradiction if a man should be said to have assurance that Christ died for him in particular, and yet continue an unbeliever. This first proposition, as in the beginning laid down, is true in the Word in innumerable places. Secondly, the heart of a believer, in the witness of the Spirit, assumes, "But I believe in Christ," that is, "I choose him for my Savior, cast and roll myself on him alone for salvation, and give up myself unto him, to be disposed of unto mercy in his own way." Of the truth of this proposition in the heart of a believer, and the infallibility of it, there are also many testimonies in the Word, as is known to all, from whence the conclusion is, "Therefore the Lord Jesus Christ died for me in particular, with an intention and purpose to save me." This is such a collection as all believers, and none but believers, can justly make, so that it is peculiar to them alone, and unto those only is this treasure of consolation to be imparted. The sufficiency of the death of Christ for the saving of everyone, without exception, that comes unto him, is enough to fill all the invitations and entreaties of the gospel unto sinners to induce them to believe, which, when, by the grace of Christ, they do, closing with the promise, the forementioned infallible assurance of the intention and purpose of Christ to redeem them by his death, Matthew 1, verse 21 is made known unto them. Now, whether this be not a better bottom and foundation for a man to assure his soul unto rest and peace upon, than that reasoning which our opposers in this business must, suitably to their own principles, lay as a common stone, namely, "Christ died for all men, I am a man, therefore Christ died for me." Let any man judge, especially considering that indeed the first proposition is absolutely false, and the conclusion, if it could be true, yet, according to their persuasion, can be no more ground of consolation than Adam's fall. All this is spoken not as though either one opinion or other were able of itself to give consolation, which God alone, in the sovereignty of his free grace, can and doth create, but only to 421 show what principles are suitable to the means whereby he worketh on and towards his elect. 4. The drawing of gospel consolation from the death of Christ is held out to be effectual towards the elect only, for whom alone he died, should close up our discourse. But considering first how abundantly this hath been done by divers eminent and faithful laborers in the vineyard of the Lord already, Secondly, how it is the daily task of the preachers of the gospel to make it out to the people of God. Thirdly, how it would carry me out, besides my purpose, to speak of things in a practical, so a theological way, having designed this discourse to be purely polemical. And fourthly, that such things are no more expected nor welcome to wise and learned men in controversies of this nature than knotty, crabbed, scholastic objections in popular sermons and doctrinal discourses intended merely for edification, I shall not proceed therein. Only for a close, I desire the reader to peruse that one place, Romans 8, verses 32 to 34, and I make no doubt but that he will, if not infected with the leaven of the error opposed, conclude with me that if there be any comfort, any consolation, any assurance, any rest, any peace, any joy, any refreshment, any exaltation of spirit to be obtained here below, it is all to be had in the blood of Jesus long since shed, and his intercession still continued. As both are united and appropriated to the elect of God, by the precious effects and fruits of them, both drawn to believe and preserved in believing, to the obtaining of an immortal crown of glory that shall not fade away. Μόνος ο Θεός, δια Ιησού Χριστού η δόξα εις τους αιώνας. Amen.